Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. Well, we finished the book of Proverbs. We're beginning now a new series. I'm excited about it. It lines up right in time and moment. And so our new series will be going through the book of Nehemiah. Let me say that again. It's okay. The few that caught on, let me start over. We're starting a brand new series, and we're going to be going through this great and awesome book, the book of Nehemiah. Thank you. Online, thank you for entering the chat and giving your shout out. So we begin this series, is entitled Rebuilding for the Next Generation. Whatever country you're in, whatever city you're in, whatever place you're in, whatever community you're in, what do you see happening these days? Talk to me. Construction. And why? Because we're rebuilding for the future. Bridges are being rebuilt. Everything's being rebuilt. Homes are being rebuilt. Everything's being built. Why? Because we can never just sit and look at where we're at and say, this is it. We must always be looking to what will we do so the future has a structure that we have put in place. So I look forward to how God is going to lead us in this series. But we begin today by reminding everyone, if we're going to start the spiritual rebuild, we must start the rebuild through prayer. We must start the rebuild through prayer. Prayer is our foundation along with the Word of God. And you will hear throughout these times the imperative of the Word of God and prayer. I want to just ask you today, think about this. Think about this. People in third world countries, they must be puzzled today by the reverse situations that are now coming into Canada, into North America, actually. The diseases, the pestilence, the violence. Is this what was known for what was usually called a first world country? Things that were once considered plagues of the third world nations have now become North America's daily struggle. Anyone with me there? And so the spiritual condition of a nation affects the physical condition. The spiritual condition of any nation affects the physical condition of that nation. And so the results of spiritual decline, it's become a stark reality in the physical world because the power of the church affects the condition of society. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The power of the church has always affected the physical condition, the state condition of society. And so when we are not living out as we should, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we don't see the change that we need in our society. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but it's what? By His Holy Spirit. It's not by who's wise or rich. There's so many wealthy people that are dominating because we have acclimatized ourselves to think wealth is the answer. Wealth is not the answer for God's world. It is serving the Creator, the Lord God Almighty. So when a society begins to pray, I want to remind us God can use one person to bring change in the worst of condition. And God is not always looking for some huge numbers of people to impact change. If you look through biblical history, how God has used people, He used one resilient person with those who will stand with them, and with that core faithfulness, He would bring change where it seemed impossible. I'll give you an example. When we begin to ask the God for a burden, he begins to show us the power of the Lord. In Moses, in Exodus 3:7, he saw the beating of the Egyptian against God's people, and he stood up. So then God called unto him because he had a burden already. And it says this, the Lord says, I have seen, I have heard, I know, and I'm sending you. When we begin to pray, God gives us burdens. When God gives us burdens, God sends answers. Deborah, in Judges chapter 4, she saw that there was no righteous judge. So she sat under a tree and just gave good judgment. And because she did that, the Lord says, I will give the nations into your hands. So when the weak military leader came, God used her to drive him forward and to bring Israel back into alignment. Gideon asked the Lord, where's all the miracles? God said, Gideon, I'm going to use you. The Lord turned to Gideon and says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. Why? Because Gideon was so burdened, he tore down something that caused chaos. We don't want to get into Gideon's story right now, but he tore down the idol thing and that brought chaos. And God says, you know what? You've got a burden. I'm going to show up and show you the might and power of God. When you get a burden, God can show up, but we don't want to have a burden. We just want to be a burden. I said that even to online. Saul had a zeal for God, misguided because he did not know the power of Christ. He did not want to accept Christ. But when God saw the burden that Saul had for people to know about the God Jehovah, he said, let me turn him around. And the Lord sent Ananias in Acts and says, go, this man is a chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings to the people of Israel. And so he took this man, Saul, who was killing Christians, and turned him into Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. God's just looking for people with a burden. And God will use ordinary, humble, seeking people to bring spiritual change to a physically impoverished nation. Let me say that to all the nations watching. I know we have people down in the U.S. and all across the Caribbean and those that are watching us on Trinity Broadcast from Singapore. I want you to know whatever nation you're in, God will use one person and he brings others in alignment with you to see change in a nation if you're carrying a godly burden, not your burden. Look at the countries where revival has burst forth in the past decade. Colombia, Kenya, Brazil, India, Nigeria, China. All these places went into relentless praying. Folks, I have not understood to this day. I've been a praying woman since I was a young girl. I have not understood how people say they're Christians, but they'll never show up to pray. Who are you? Who are you, really? You say that to other religions, and I don't know what they would do with you. You tell other religions, tell those in the Muslim faith that you don't pray and see what would happen. Why is it that Christians feel you have so much liberty, you don't need to pray, you just need to show up when you need something for your own self? Father, forgive us, for we have sinned and failed you, and we've led a generation of young people who think prayer is incidental. Somebody say something this morning. Wherever there is prayer, praying determined people who are relentlessly focused in unity and prayer, God will definitely show up. And right now, today, we continue to pray for the nation of Haiti that's in chaos. But we also know that Haiti opened itself up to a demonic force. And while we continue to pray for Haiti, and we must pray, we can see the problem of Haiti, but have you seen the problem of North America? See, it's very quick for us to go, look at Haiti, they're broken down, they don't pray. Haiti, we repent because we're broken down because we don't pray. And we have governments that are better than yours, so who's the one at fault here? Oh, come on, church, take an ouch, would you? Somebody online, take an ouch, would you? Whatever country you're in, take an ouch this morning. Wherever there's praying, determining people, God will show up. And so we need to get ready to be focused in prayer. Pray for everything. Pray for our nation. Pray for our societies. Pray for our church, our communities. Pray for our home and pray for our families. It's time the church that says it's a Christian church understand prayer is not a choice. It is a mandate. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let me read this part of the text. The rest I'll read later. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. The gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. The last part in 11b, which we'll come to later, it says, "In those days I was the king's cupbearer." Father, speak the word to us today. Even what I fail to communicate to your people by the power of your spirit, which is the greatest way, in Jesus' name. Nehemiah was now, he was formerly a Jewish young man, but in exile he was taken. And he's now a young, successful resident. Hear me the word. He was a resident in Persia. And he, at that age, was similar to our Momentum group, our Momentum age group, 20 North, 40 South. He was in that category. That is why I have pushed so hard for that category, because that is the category that should be riding strong and taking their place in the kingdom of God and leading the church and teaching Sunday school. But we won't go into that. I'll touch that another day. His parents came to Persia during the exile. The exile, for those who don't understand the Bible or you're new to Christianity, let me just give you a quick thing. When Israel became wretched in its ungodliness, God had to allow them to be swallowed up by the Babylonians, a great nation, but it was a heathen nation, a people with strange gods and strange worship and aggression to those who did not bow to them. Can I tell you, we're seeing that come back now, and it's not because God is sending it, it's because we are allowing it. Lot of complaints, but we are not assessing what is the problem. So the strange people with strange God and strange custom and a heavy-duty aggression against Christianity. You need to just make sure you quantify that in the now and see if we're operating again in what is considered the Babylonian time. So God allowed them to go into exile. And so now, decades later, after harsh captivity and after many had died in this, the few God servers who were left decided to go back into their country, back into Jerusalem and Judah. And so here they were. We want to resume our godly lifestyle. Please don't allow God to have to drive us under the enemy so that we come out as a motley crew looking for God's answer again, when God's answer is right now. Just serve me wholeheartedly, pray, seek my face, and walk in the power of the word of God. I'll say amen all by myself. See, Israel, they wanted to resume their former lifestyle, but they should never have let it go. Can I talk to the church today? Let's not get to the place where we're striving to resume our former lifestyle, because we should never let go who we are in Christ and God. And so sinfulness breaks down a nation and it renders people helpless. Do you know what's rendering us helpless in society? Is sinfulness. As we did the march in the city yesterday, and as I said, I only showed up to give my support because I wanted to preserve my voice for today. But I'll tell you, 90% of the churches would not support that in unity because we're too stylish and we're too wonderful. But we wonder why every other group marches in the millions and the church only marches in the thousands. Nehemiah was comfortable with Persian custom. He now lived in it, and he had adapted to the ways of the society by lack of choice because he grew up in it, and everything was going well for him. In fact, he had been promoted to cupbearer of the king of Persia, a very well-respected and notable position, and so it's almost equivalent to being in the Secret Service or to being one of the politician's high aide. He was in that position, but I want to speak to millennials and our new Gen Alpha. All the social and economical status you acquire will never give you peace of mind, will never give you joy, will never give you true understanding of who you are, and will never give you contentment in your heart and soul. Until you have an understanding of the love of God, and until you begin to embrace the peace of God, everything else is on sifting sand. Everything else is shaky. When you want to know who you are in Christ and God, consider this: without the word of God, you will always be seeking for something to fill your soul. Nehemiah was enjoying a false sense of security and status when one of his brothers brought him the news of what his hometown Jerusalem was now like, and it opened his eyes to see and to hear their emptiness. Here's the thing, folks. They in Jerusalem were in chaos. He was in privilege, but they were empty and so was he. And he recognized, I might have all the privilege, but I'm very empty. Better I get back to my people in Jerusalem. Better I get back to a church and worship God than think that I have it all together. Even when people are comfortable with their status, the decline in their spiritual condition affects everyone. The decline in our spiritual condition, church, affects everyone. The problem of the church today worldwide is we feel we're individuals. Don't tell me how to live my life. That's a secular thing. The word tells you how to live your life. I'm just here to remind you of what the word is telling you. Live your life for the glory of God and stop enjoying the status quo of an ungodly society. And if we're not going to enjoy it, then we need to awaken with a passion that we are, how we've been intended to live through God and in God and in step with God. Find a new dynamic. This is an Old Testament story of Nehemiah, but it's very prevalent, very current today. Right here in the greater Toronto area, those that are on other countries, greater Toronto is our main city in Canada. That's where the multitudes of people live. And right here, the daily news is showing us week after week, night after night, too many killings, gun violence out of control, stabbings, schools, crime gangs, everything being committed by young people, the judiciary system, the political system. No system can control it, but I'll tell you, there's one system that can render it back in. Here's one story, just one story, one night. One night last week, it was a violent long weekend in the city with 11 shootings across 10 police divisions, says the inspector of the Integrated Gun and Gang Task Force. Folks, when you've got guns and gangs that are taking over our city and churches that are worried about nothingness, we are no better than when Jerusalem was in ruins and the people were sitting down accepting it. I want you to know it's time to rebuild a spiritual nation. The problem is, many Christians today would prefer if they could keep their eyes and their ears closed. This is how Christians are behaving nowadays. This is it. But, Pastor, Preach what I love. Preach me happy. Preach me prosperity. Preach me everything good. But don't expect me to see the condition of my society. It's not about me. It's about me just wanting to have what God has for me. Can I ask you, what does God have for you? God has many blessings, but so does he have blessings for those that you've ignored. We, as Christian, the Christian church worldwide has put on blinders. We don't want to see it. Many Christians will tell me straight face, I don't ever watch the news. It's too negative. Well, how are you going to know what's going on in your city? That is, listen to me, that's ignorant. That is ignorant. That is ignorant. That is ignoramus. When we want to pray for our city, open your eyes and see, and your ears and hear. Young people, you look at everything that every celebrity is doing, but none of you can ever tell me what happened in the news. How will you ever rise to have a burden for your city and to pray for the generations? One day, Nehemiah, who was cupbearer to the king, his brothers came. His brothers came and says, we are broken down, man. We're in ruins. There's nothing good happening right now. And you are in a position of privilege. And that brought a burden to his heart. We've got to realize Gen X, Gen Z, Gen Y, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, all of you, the bundled into millennials and the new Gen Alpha. If you don't get a burden for our nation, then we are going to watch chaos that you don't want to live in. And many of us that are older, I don't want this next generation coming up to be my doctors or my lawyers or nothing. You are better for the sake of your health, because they will shove a needle in you and send you on very quickly and tell you it's legal. Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule in this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Who are we fighting against? Wicked spirits in the heavenly realm. This is not where we play footsies. This is when we better become people of prayer. And don't you dare tell me you can't pray, because a Christian that can't pray is not a Christian. Okay, so no one told you before online? Let me tell you. A Christian that can't pray is like a fish that can't swim. Nehemiah chose not to sit around listening to God's people who had become fearful and fearless. That's what's happening in the kingdom now. There's a fearfulness and a fear and a faithlessness. And here's what many of us are saying, or many people, not us, but many people are saying, oh, it's unfortunate that this is happening, but you know, I don't know how the church allowed the kingdom of God to be run down like that. They should have known better. Sorry. Who? The church? Who the church? There's so many people going, the church. Remember what's pointing back? You are the church. And we're watching decline in many areas. Pastoral decline, church decline. There's no hope and no faith. But if we don't pray, there are many of you spend time tearing down your pastor but not praying up your pastor. And then you wonder why pastors are failing. Many of you, and this is not just for our church now, this is to the online audience, many of you spend time evaluating, calculating, speculating, and wondering why they don't do this or that. Why don't you pray? And as you pray, powers and principalities will be broken, and they'll be able to channel things in a greater manifest. I want to share, this is not for our church, because we are in our eighth year of my leadership. Eighth is my year of new beginnings. And so in this year of new beginning, I've got notice to serve to those who are not going forward. The first year I preached going forward, not backward. Now in my eighth new beginning, I preach, I'm going forward, we're going forward, if you're going backward, one day we'll close the door. Okay, no one liked that? Let me refresh that. If you sit somewhere for 7 years and you cannot join in where we're going, you're in the wrong place. Does that sound better? Yes, I know. It's always better when I say it very nicely and poised. But it's always more impactful when I shock you. How many know that one? We're not fighting against people. That's the problem. That's why I'm saying this. Because what happens is when we're ready to see revival, and if you're still fighting, you're trying to fight flesh, it's not, you don't realize what's going on. We're not fighting flesh and blood here. There's wicked, evil powers stirring, and we'll use the simplest thing to stir up the greatest problem. Do you know the devil doesn't come in the church with a big problem at first? What does he come with? A seed. What does he do with the seed? Plant it. When he plants it, it begins to grow. Then the wind comes and it takes the pollen and spreads it over. Folks, Nehemiah looked at what happened in Israel, and his brother came to him, and all he could say is, "This is a great burden. I won't leave it on you." I want the church to look at everything and go, "This is a great burden. I won't leave it on the others." Oh, come on now, somebody. Online. This is the hour for the church to restore its position in society. We're rebuilding for a generation. The generations don't believe in the church. We're going to show them the church is a place of power. The church is a place of unity. The church is a place of prayer. The church is a place of miracles. The church is a place of fellowship. The church is a place of comradeship. But most of all, the church recognizes that each one of us are the children of the Most High God, called to do something for His great name. So it's a choice. Nehemiah had a choice. He was cupbearer to the king. He could have sat around and just sipped wine with the rest of them. Or he had to get up and do something in a manner that he could do. Everyone has a capacity. Everyone has a capability. And so he recounted something integral. God still has the power to bring change, but change requires something of us. God still has the power to bring change, but change requires something of us. Do you know why I preach and I throw out tough statements? Because the church forgot. Just like many had forgotten that Israel's broken down, Jerusalem is in ruin. Many have forgotten our society is in ruin. The generations are in ruin. We don't have time to cater to and worry about the one person who has an issue. We have got to realize if we don't step up and bring it back in line. Oh, Pastor, you know, a few minutes ago you said you'd close the door. It's time to close out some things and prepare for a harvest that's so massive that nobody can stop it. We've been so catered to the Christian realm. Talk to me, somebody. But when they came, Nehemiah said, "I've been blessed. I'm in a place of affluence. I'm in a place of notoriety. I'm rubbing shoulders with the prime minister. I'm touching the people with titles. I'm with the celebrities. I'm sipping wine until I can't sip no more wine." Because if no matter how much wine the king drank, Nehemiah had to sip it first. He's like, "Oh, I've got it made." But he felt, he heard, and he felt the burden of his brethren. Church, this message is this. If all we feel is our need, we're in a wrong position. We have got to begin to have a burden. A burden begins with a simple concern. A simple concern. Here's a simple concern. Nehemiah asked, I ask concerning the Jews. Nehemiah asked, what's going on with the rest? Can you start asking God, what's going on with my society? What's going on with my neighborhood? What's going on with our young people? What's going on with our millennia? Can you start asking God rather than worrying about what you don't have? Nehemiah's like, I ask concerning them. And then he remembered this key thing. He was living in Persia. He was groomed by Persia, but he was not a Persian. Folks, you're living in an ungodly society. Our generations are groomed from schooling right up in an ungodly society, but they are not ungodly people. They just need to be called back to who they are, and we pray them back into that. That's how it will happen. Nehemiah recognized, I am in Persia, but I'm not Persian. Can you remember you're in the world, but you're not of the world? Talk to me, somebody. How can I ask a question? How committed are you to God and his principles? Do you know you are spiritually, do you know who you are spiritually while living amongst the ungodly? That's the deep question. Do you know who you are spiritually? Yes, I live amongst the ungodly, but I'm not of them. And whenever we separate ourselves, that's what happened with the church. We became a holy huddle. Let's just stick with ourselves, not the other people. They're so wretched. God wants those wretched people. That's what we are called to. True compassion seeks out correct information. True compassion has a desire to see others walk in the blessing that God has given us. True compassion will cause us to not only read the word but apply it. Not only pray but pray for others. True compassion means that we step out of our zone and step into a realm of God. Show me what I need to pray down and pray through, because we are all affected by the ungodliness of our society. Nehemiah was a businessman, but the honesty of his heart caused him to say, what can I do? And true sacrifice for the cause of Christ means we don't shun the testings of the time. We don't shun it. If we're going to face the test presented to us, we must face the trials of money. We must face the testing of time. We must face the testing of our faith. We must face the testing of our personal ambition. We must face the testing of our spiritual emptiness and our spiritual desire. Oh, Father, help us to not shun it, not hide from it, not bury ourselves inside four walls, but face the test. You know the test that the world's going to throw at us? Money. For some, he's going to give you so much you forget God. Time. I have no time for God. I just have time for myself. Faith. Oh, you know, every faith is okay. Personal ambition. My way first, and then God gets whatever's left over. Spiritual emptiness. Even when we're empty, we won't seek spiritual desire of being filled by the power of the Spirit. That's the test the enemy has put upon the church, and we better get ready to pass the test of these, each one of them, because we don't see it in its context. It's like the test of time is the biggest one, and we better get ready to know. The enemy's going to throw everything at us to tie up all the time so we never grow in the word and in the spirit. And then he has the church empty. We're coming down towards a close. Here's what happened. Nehemiah wept. He wept, he wept, he wept. Oh, when was the last time you wept because of society? I have a question. Oh, I know you've used this for many reasons. When was the last time you wept? Nehemiah was sitting in the king's court, but he was weeping for the kingdom of God. He was sitting in the kingdom of the king, but he was weeping for the kingdom of the King of Kings. When was the last time you wept at the plight of society rather than ignore it because it doesn't affect you? May I remind you, wherever you are, the plight of society affects everyone at some point and sometime. So don't ever think that you will escape it. So Nehemiah typifies the Lord Jesus Christ in this. He mourned the darkness that had entered the land. He mourned the emotional and spiritual poverty that had come and stripped the people of their joy and their pride. We're good. Stay focused. He mourned the disappointment that had blighted the ambitions of their young. He mourned the sickness that had overtaken the bodies of the strong. He mourned the spiritual lostness and the irreligious ways, and the religious crisis. He mourned it all. To those online, I had a throat injury and I need to keep sipping honey and water. So just, it helps everyone understand, I'm not drinking alcohol or wine. It's just honey and water to keep the throat lubricated so I could preach powerfully. He mourned the darkness. He mourned the emotional and spiritual poverty that had come and stripped them. He mourned the disappointment that had blighted the ambitions of their young. He mourned the sickness that had overtaken the bodies of the strong. Do you notice sickness is overtaking even in the church? He mourned it because it shouldn't be that way. He mourned the spiritual lostness and the religious crisis that existed. And so there comes a time when our prayer should drive us to tears because the burden is so deeply felt. And so Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah prayed. Worship team, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Let me read this. O Lord, this is his mourning, this is his prayer, this is his repentance, this is where we're at. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, the decrees, the regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to a place I've chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. I'd like you to stand this morning online. I'd like you to stand in spirit wherever you are. I'd like you to put the verse back and we're going to read it together. We've discovered that reading the word together has been powerful here. We need to pray. But before we go into prayer, we need to repent. And as you read this, I want you to read it into your spirit. If you're going to do the school exercise of just reading it with your mind turned off, then just be silent because the Lord knows the heart. But I want you to read this as your personal declaration. Even if you have to substitute a word that you know you should substitute in there, you read it and substitute that word. Nehemiah chapter 1, because we need to pray, here's what we're going to read this morning. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for the people of the GTA. I confess we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, the decrees, the regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to a place I've chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant us success today by making our government favorable to us. Put it into their hearts to be kind to the church. I'm just changing that last one. Make our governments favorable to us. Put it into their hearts to be kind to the church. But a church without a burden is a weak church. A weak church is a detriment to a nation. I want you right now to begin praying. I'm going to ask you to repent this morning. As he prays, so should we. He prayed. He prayed prayers of invocation, meaning he was calling unto the Lord out of a pure heart. He prayed prayers of petition, making all requests known to God. He prayed prayers of supplication, appealing to God for new miracles and new mercies. He prayed prayers of intercession. He stood in the gap for others. I want in this minute right now for you to open your mouth and begin to pray and ask God. Begin, open your mouth and pray. Don't be afraid of anybody else, but open your mouth and begin to pray. Pray, repent, ask God to change. Change us so that we can be change agents in a wicked world. God, let your miracles and mercies come back to the church. Help us to stop, oh God, backbiting and scripting and analyzing every little word. But instead, let us script and analyze the word of God so it gets in our spirit. Father, I rebuke those who spent their life criticizing everything. God, their critical spirit has caused so much chaos. But, oh God, may they then now begin to read the word, stand in the word, defend the word, call people to the word. God, cause us to open our eyes to see the situation. The gun violence in our city is out of control. The gun violence is out of control. The knives and the stabbings in school, the drugs in the schoolyard, God, it is out of control. Awaken us to hear and see and to have a burden for our cities, have a burden for our nation. God, we cry out for the nation of Haiti in complete chaos, but we cry out for Canada in chaos. We cry out for America in chaos. We cry out for Ukraine. We cry out, God, for Russia. We cry out, oh God, for the Middle East. We cry out, oh God, for Asia. We cry out for Africa. We cry out for Australia, New Zealand, and all of the oceanic countries. We cry out, our nations are in chaos. Oh God, we cry out for South America. We cry out for the Caribbean Islands. God Almighty, let your power and your peace come back, and let the churches worldwide stand in the gap and begin to pray until the miracles come back upon us. We repent, Lord, and I ask you to repent. We repent. We failed you. Oh God, we repent. Would you repent this morning? We spent our time on things that are inconsequential, not focus on the things of consequences, on our wants and our needs, our likes and our dislikes. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, cause us to see the burden that you have for us. It's a burden for our cities, a burden for our communities, a burden for our nation. Oh God, we repent, oh God, and we ask you, great and awesome God, hear our cry. Would you raise your hands to heaven now and ask him, great and awesome God, God of power, God of might, God of mercy, God of miracle, hear our cry. Oh God, our humble cry. We're not worthy, but you, oh God, are a great God. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. salvation. Renew a right spirit in us. Let your Holy Spirit consume us. And oh God, let the word become so powerful in us that we will be living epistles walking about in our nations, bringing change and seeing salvation of souls in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So we declare it, we decree it, and we stand, oh God, in the might and power of our God in faith. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.